I'm Tyler Russell, and we are joined by the filmmaker and star of a new kind of micro-budget thriller we've been talking about this morning called Down and Dangerous that's opening on Friday. Zach Forsman and John T. Woods are here. Good morning, guys.
Morning, Tyler.
Hi, Tyler.
Thanks for making the trek down. We were kind of comparing our radio station to the organic growth of your movie, kind of the community-supported, Kickstarter-funded film. Do you want to just give us kind of the history of how you started this thing and how it's become, you know, actually a film?
Yeah, you bet. Toward the end of 2011, John and I were sitting at a Starbucks together talking about, you know, what we wanted to do next, what movie we wanted to make. And originally we were talking about doing something that, you know, would be very low budget that we could essentially do for nothing. But the more the idea evolved, it became pretty clear that, you know, we're going to have to find some money somewhere. And we turned toward crowdfunding. And at the time, you know, there was no Veronica Mars, no Spike Lee, no Zach Braff. So we were asking for, at the time, a pretty ambitious amount of money. You know, we each had, you know, we ran in different circles and had, like, friends and family that we were pretty sure would support this endeavor. And ultimately, we're pretty surprised by the amount of people beyond that initial group that came out to support us.
Yeah.
I think we reached our goal a week before the end of our campaign and ended up raising 177% of what our target goal had been.
And how much money was that?
We were shooting for $30,000, but we raised just south of $50,000.
And still, to make a feature film for $50,000... is still quite a stretch, right? I mean, not very much money.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, a lot of credit goes to our producer, you know, sort of like navigating the waters of this. You know, I wrote the script to take advantage of resources that we knew we already had available to us.
Yeah.
But Kevin K. Shaw, our producer, really, we owe a lot to him for seeing us through the 39 days of production. And but yeah, the money goes fast. Our biggest expense was $10,000 to feed everybody during the shoot.
Sure. I do want to talk a little bit about the challenges of making the movie. But John, as the star of the film, do you want to tell us a little bit about who you portray and what it's about for people who may see it on Friday?
Sure. I play a character named Paul Boxer, who is a cocaine smuggler who has some rival traffickers who are encroaching on his territory. So he has to make a decision as far as which direction he's going to take in terms of his livelihood. And he runs into a woman from his past, and he has to deal with those issues there. The movie itself was sort of inspired by Zach's father, who was a cocaine smuggler back in the 70s. He ran cocaine from Colombia to the eastern seaboard, New York area. And he loved the game of it. He loved pulling one over on the authorities.
Yeah.
And I think we can all relate to that, you know, that sort of thing.
I don't think I can personally relate to smuggling cocaine from Colombia,
sure.
But at least, yeah, the thrill of...
I think the thrill, yeah, the thrill of pulling the wool over someone's eyes who's an authority figure to you is pretty
sure.
Cool. And that's what he loved. He loved the game aspect of it. So there was a book that was written I was able to research and about his dad. And I was able to talk to Zach and some of his family about his father and kind of get some characteristics that I could use for the character of Paul Boxer.
Right.
In regards to what kind of man he really was.
Did you know growing up that your dad was doing... I mean, how old were you when he was smuggling cocaine?
I mean, I knew a little bit before this, you know, because you can't avoid realizing that there's something different about your dad. And
yeah.
There being a lot of talk of this book. But officially, when I was 14, he came in and handed me the book and sort of like told me the whole story.
Wow. And he was not busted for it, or
he was locked up for a little bit when they were in New York, and I think the police had found bullets at his at the house he was renting, and when he was locked up, they said, you know, we found bullets, so we know you have a gun. Tell us where it is, or we're going to tear that place apart brick by brick. And he told him, and his lawyer at the time was furious. He's like, they had nothing on you. Why did you tell them that? He said, well, how much coke did they say they found at the place? And it was a small, you know, negligible amount. And so my dad said, well, then they missed the load. And, you know, he had a sizable amount sitting in a sort of plaster bust on the mantle.
Oh, my God.
That the cops had totally missed.
So it was this, obviously, a lot of these details were probably inspiration for the film and your actual screenplay.
Yeah, well, my dad was, uniquely principled for that line of work, meaning that for him, it wasn't about the money. It was, to him, it was a wonderful game. And all of his scams were designed in such a way that if the load got hit at customs, the person carrying the load could walk away untouched.
Okay, so that was more thrilling and interesting to him than making money from cocaine smuggling.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. And John portrays that in the film.
He does. I mean, yeah, this whole thing sort of started around, like, what would an interesting character be? You know, someone who is working in a moral gray area and forced to choose between his livelihood and his integrity as a man.
Cool. Zach Forsman, John T. Woods in studio with us from the new movie Down and Dangerous. Hashtag dad movie if you're tweeting about it this weekend. It opens Friday at the Downtown Independent in L.A. Where is that theater for people in the area?
That's on the 200 block of South Main Street in downtown Los Angeles.
Okay, but even more available is people can download it or watch it on demand on most cable networks. We have Cox down here. Do you know if it's going to show up on Cox?
Yep, it'll definitely be on demand on Cox. Our distributor, Gravitas Ventures, has been outstanding. They pitched it to all the cable and satellite operators. So it's going to be available across the country to 100 million subscribers. It'll also be on iTunes, Xbox, PlayStation, Amazon Instant Video.
Cool.
That, yeah.
So, John, how do you feel having, you know, sat down at a Starbucks with Zach thinking, let's make a movie this year? You've done a lot of shorts and some TV, and this is, like we talked about, it may be your first leading feature role in a long feature movie. Now that it's going to be distributed all over the place, I mean, you must be pretty excited.
I feel incredibly fortunate that when we undertook this endeavor, that this was the outcome, you know, of this feature. When Zach and I sat down, I think one of the things that was on the forefront of our mind was making a movie that we would have enjoyed when we were kids. You know, we drew a lot from, like, Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, Indiana Jones type action, the stuff we used to make when you go into the woods in the back of your house. You know,
sure.
You run around with guns and you play around, that kind of stuff. And we had a hell of a good time making this picture. And to carry the film, or to, you know, to be the lead in it is, you know, incredibly gratifying, and I'm very, very pleased with what we were able to accomplish with a crew of 6 people.
Yeah,
a cast of 25, close to 25 people, you know, 30 locations, you know, all over the place. And I'm just really, really happy with how the group came together and made it, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Talk about some of the challenges of doing a 6-person crew film. I mean, I read that you didn't necessarily get a lot of permits for places you shot, and kind of cut corners any way you could for that low budget movie.
Yeah, Kevin, as Zach was saying, Kevin, our producer, he's got some just amazing tricks in his toolbox when it comes to producing these things. Like, he does this great thing where he carries around reflective vests and cones in the back of his truck. And he's got this cool, quiet confidence about him that he'll throw out some cones, throw on the vest, and we can shoot, you know, some pretty high-speed chases in downtown L.A.
And, oh, my God.
And get away with it. And cops roll by, and they sort of wave to Kevin, and Kevin sort of waves and nods back, and they kind of look for a second, and they drive on, because he's got a vest on, you know? Like, if he has a vest, he obviously knows what he's doing, you know? He obviously belongs there. So you have challenges like that, because you could spend so much money doing things the right way, but like Zach said, if we waited around for permission and the proper amount of money, we would never get anything done.
Where would you normally shoot a high-speed chase if it's not the streets of Los Angeles?
You'd end up writing it, you know, north of L.A., like Palmdale or something like that, and then you'd have to go in weird hours when you can make it happen, and you'd have to bend the story, you know, to fit that. But our story is a very Los Angeles-based crime thriller, you know, so we want to make sure that when we did it right. We tried not to cut corners as much as we could when it came to that stuff, and really just pulled it off as best as we could.
Do you, either of you remember a moment where it really came close to, like, the cops busting you or something going pretty wrong with cutting those corners?
I remember we were all really nervous going down to the border because we shot right on the border, the fence. And we're like, this is it. I mean, when we go down here, let's get right in. Let's shoot this. You know, we're going to walk. My character, Paul, was walking right along the border. And I was like, as soon as we get down there, we're going to get accosted by people and arrested and all this stuff. So let's just shoot it, and then we'll deal with the trouble afterwards. Went down there, started shooting. No one came by 30 minutes. No one came by 45 minutes. All of a sudden, Border Patrol pulls up. And we're like, okay, now we're getting shut down. He ends up talking to us. He's an amateur photographer and just wants to show us all of his stuff. And we start talking to him about the rules and the logistics. And he says, you know, no, none of this stuff is owned by the government. It's the fence. As soon as you start trying to climb the fence, then I have to talk to you.
Okay.
But if you're walking around here, this all these like 60 acres is owned by some guy. We haven't seen him in 3 years. He may not even be around anymore. So you can do whatever you want kind of stuff. Just keep it easy. Keep it small. Yeah. So we thought we'd be in trouble.
He even radioed back to the other guys. He said, yeah, I'll tell the other guys not to come down here and hassle you.
That's awesome. And a good lesson maybe to other low-budget filmmakers that you can indeed use some of the border.
Yeah, small footprint. Just keep a small footprint for anything you do, you know?
So having pulled this off, Zach, as a filmmaker on such a low budget, on a crowdfunded film, I'm assuming this gets the kind of success that you're seeing it get already. Would you do it all again the same way next film, or what's your plan?
Well, it's you know, I'm very proud of what we were able to pull off for the amount of money we had, but it is brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, people are getting paid, but they're not getting paid what they're worth. You know, and then, you know, people like the sort of like central core team aren't getting paid anything. You know, I mean, the editor worked on the movie for 6 to 9 months. You know, and she wasn't paid a dime.
Wow.
We are hoping that if this movie has any kind of success, that it's something we'll be able to point to as we're building financing for the other movies that we have in our slate.
Right. It's a resume builder, I guess, sort of.
Right.
Yeah. Well, cool. Again, people can check the movie out, Down and Dangerous, this Friday in Los Angeles at the Downtown Independent Theater, or on many of your on-demand boxes. Maybe you have an Xbox, several cable networks like Cox. You can find it on demand. Is it the paid section of on demand, as far as you know?
Exactly.
Okay, cool. Well, congrats on the success. I mean, it's so cool that you guys were able to pull this off, and I can't wait to see it.
Thanks,
and I do want to talk a little bit about the music, because we're going to play a song from the movie. Lightbur is the band. John, you said this guy just lives down the street from you?
Yeah, lives in the same neighborhood as me. Sort of a weird coincidence, because we found the music before we actually found out that he lived around the corner.
Yeah.
That was a weird...
How did you run into him?
They just recognized each other on the corner.
Really?
It's like, wait a minute, you're John. And I was like, you're Jaron. We sort of worked together, didn't we? Yeah, it was that kind of thing.
So what is the motif for the music? Why did you choose what you chose?
Well, you know, it was actually the lyrics. The lyrics are very much about, I mean, the character that John plays is somebody who doesn't take on partners, works alone, you know, and has sort of built up these walls. And this the lyrics of this song really sort of spoke to me, you know, in terms of touching on that, you know, his character. And we actually, the movie opens with that song.
Cool. We're going to play it now. Lightbur, the song Think of Tomorrow. It shows up in the film Down and Dangerous, again, this Friday in LA or on most on-demand networks. A micro-budget thriller that has to do with cocaine smuggling, but it seems to be a lot more than what it seems on the surface, a kind of a deep story that you have personal ties to. So it seems really great, and thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thanks, Tyler.
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys. Here's Lightbur on KX 93.5.